This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's original Nooks and Crannies English Muffins.
And I want to be awakened by the smell fingers coming off a toasting smell Thomas's fingers. English muffin, like, you know, get it going into my bedroom and drawing me out of bed and toward the toaster.
Would you want it spread with butter or peanut butter?
Oh, I'm going peanut butter, like how it gets all melty and melts into those nooks and crannies.
But the crags still stay all crunchy.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. Listener, if you haven't already, you have to try Thomas's Nooks and Crannies English Muffins. They are truly like no other.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today we're talking about crumpets.
I think this is another one that we came up with during another episode.
I think so. Yeah, like last week's Tang episode.
I mean, I don't think that's when we came up with it.
No, but I mean, last week's Tang episode
was another
was
one
the
that
same.
We came up to. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a positive feedback loop.
I feel like every time I hear the word crumpet, well, I can't decide.
Every time I hear you crumpet,
I want to jump it
with you.
Crumpet is, wow, is ripe with, like, rhymes.
We're a crack songwriting team.
Dump it.
Strump it.
Pump it.
Bump it.
Did I already say hump it?
No, I don't think so. I would remember that.
What else?
Wow, there is like a chump sizzling it. R&B song in here. Here in the studio with
sizzling
us.
In the toaster. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, you know, we have barely scratched the surface of all the fun that can be had linguistically with crumpets.
Oh, I think you say we barely scratched the surface of this topic, which is true since the episode started 1 minute ago. Wow. We have so much more to say about crumpets. What a rich vein we've discovered. And so much more to sing.
Okay.
I was going to say something about 76 crumpets, but that was trombones, not trumpets.
I don't know that one.
It's from The Music Man. What? Why is that funny?
I'm just having one of my moments.
Okay, good. Do you know the story of The Music Man? Okay, then I can't do my bit about how The Music Man has the most insane story you have ever, like, of all musicals. But somebody out there knows what I'm talking about.
I remember that you once wrote in some feedback to me about A Homemade Life.
More or maybe, trumpets.
Or maybe it was about Delancey.
Uh-huh. I can't wait to hear a few hours from now what it was I wrote.
I remember you wrote something about that you complimented me on handling a difficult part of the text without getting sentimental, and you said you're allergic to sentimentality.
Oh yeah.
I'm allergic to musicals.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think I really like musicals, but I know some stuff about them because everyone else in my family really likes musicals, and there are a few musicals that I do enjoy. I love talking about how the Music Man has an absurd story.
Okay, so let's go down memory lane.
I mean, if he was going to scam the town, why did he buy the band uniforms and the instruments? Okay. Why didn't he just take their money and leave
so
town?
So I first heard about Crumpet. I remember my dad talking about crumpets.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, and so for me, they always have this sort of like haze of nostalgia over
for me
them.
Too.
Because I remember my dad talking about crumpets sort of like longingly and wistfully. And then I remember when I moved to Seattle, being down near Pike Place in those early days of exploring and seeing the crumpet shop by Pike Place Market.
Yesterday.
Yeah, it's on First Avenue here in Seattle. I remember I thought of my dad, and I think I had my first ever crumpet from there.
I did not, but I definitely remember it from my early days in Seattle also. I had crumpets as a kid, but I also remember like hearing about them somewhat before actually eating them, like that these were like a breakfast, some kind of breakfast bread, but a very special one.
Yes.
And I wonder, like, crumpets are British, right?
Yeah. Would you like me to go into the history of crumpets?
Yes, and I wonder if it will answer this question or if a listener would like to weigh in on this. Like, do crumpets have the same, like, you know, special treat kind of connotation in England as they do in America, I think?
Well, I think
not
that,
even, like, special treat, but, like, you know, it's like an unusual item.
Huh. I would be surprised if they did, based on what...
I think I agree, but I don't
know. Based on what I learned.
Okay. What did you learn?
Let's do our favorite segment. What have we learned? Yes. Okay. So, a crumpet is like a small cake or bread that's made on a griddle. It's made from an unsweetened batter with water or milk. Most places I saw called for milk.
Okay.
Kind of like a pancake batter, almost. Water or milk, flour, and yeast. And they're mostly eaten in the UK and Ireland. They're also called pikelets in some places.
Now, isn't a pikelet sometimes also just like a small pancake?
Yeah. So I also saw it as being referring to something that is like thinner than a crumpet, more like an American pancake.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think pikelets, which I do daily.
Yeah. So, Matthew, here's where we're going to get into the everybody's favorite spilled milk segment, linguistics 1001.
Linguistics corner.
Yeah.
Oh, 1001. Wow.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So sources say that crumpets originated in Wales, and they were griddled because bread ovens weren't available.
I'm so sick of your anonymous sourcing, Molly.
Sorry. So apparently these like griddled breads were part of the everyday diet in Wales.
That makes sense.
Until the 19th century.
And then they got sick of it?
Then they got sick of it, or they got like ovens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the breads were called pikelets.
Oh, wow.
Which sounds problematic because it sounds very close to piglets.
Yeah, you don't want to mix those up.
Yeah, you don't want to mix those up. Anyway, that name was derived. Here we get into fun pronunciation. That name was derived from the Welsh bara piglid. There are lots of Y's in that, which basically means pitchy bread, like dark or sticky bread.
Pitchy bread.
Pitchy bread.
like.
Oh, could you pitchy bread.
Pitchy woman.
Okay. Anyway, so it started out as bara piglid and then was later shortened to piglid. From the early 17th century, somebody apparently wrote about our Welsh bara piglids, which I mean is like a really weird name for a bicycle.
What? Wait, were they talking about a bicycle?
They were talking about piglids.
Okay.
So our Welsh bara piglids.
So that's where pikelet comes from.
Yeah. So anyway, then pikelet was anglicized to pikelet.
It sounds like a classic vowel shift.
It sounds like a classic nursery rhyme.
Oh.
Pikelet becomes pikelet.
Oh, if you give a pig a pig a pikelet.
Yes, exactly.
Give a piglet a pikelet?
The word crumpet is pretty new, and there are a ton of guesses out there. If you really want to go down this rabbit hole, there are a lot of guesses about where the word came from. Old English, Welsh, French, you name it. Do we care? Well, maybe, but maybe not.
No, I do.
This episode is brought to you by Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
So, Molly, you know, I was in my bathtub yesterday, like leaning over the bathtub.
TMI.
With a Mr. Clean Magic Eraser, just having some quality time. By which I mean, there had accumulated like a layer of scum near the bathtub drain, you know, where you could, yes, like, if you touch it with your fingers, you can feel
slimy.
There's like...
Was it slimy?
It's accumulated. It's slimy. Oh. It's, yeah. It's congealed.
Oh.
And I went after that with a magic eraser, and there was no trace of it within seconds.
Wow. And all you had to do, am I right, was wet it, squeeze it out, and scrub. There was like no yucky fumes, no smells, no...
No spraying.
Yeah.
No waiting for the spray to soak in before you scrub. You just get in there and get going and do it, and it'll take off pretty much any stain in the world.
Yeah, if you want to learn what other stains Mr. Clean Magic Eraser can help you knock out, go to MrClean.com/spilledmilk.
That's MrClean.com/spilledmilk. This episode is brought to you by Grove Collaborative.
Grove makes it easy to discover the best natural products to take care of your home and family, and they make sure you never run out of your favorites.
So what does that mean? I got a box from Grove Collaborative, and it is full of awesome stuff. It's brands that I know and love, like Method and Mrs. Meyers and Burt's Bees, but also some of their own label stuff. Like, we got this spray bottle. It's a beautiful glass spray bottle with a silicone base, so it doesn't clunk when you put it down or fall over. And you can order concentrates, so you're not buying, you know, a big bottle of water every time you want to clean your house.
I mean, did you know that most cleaning products you buy are like 95% water? Grove Collaborative, this is so cool. You get this beautiful reusable bottle, and then they sell a lot of their products in concentrates. You just put it in the bottle, add water, and clean.
Yep. And if you ever don't like anything, send it back for free, no questions asked. Now, to get yours, including a $30 Mrs. Meyers gift set for free with your order of $20 or more, go to grove.co/spilledmilk.
That's not grove.com. It's grove.co/spilledmilk. Matthew.
Yes.
Have you ever made these things?
No. I have made English muffins.
Do you have the rings, the metal rings?
I do, because I have, when I bought them, I believe they were billed as flan rings. Is that the same thing, do you think? I think maybe these rings are a little shorter than a crumpet ring.
I think of these rings as being maybe an inch tall.
Okay, the ones I have are maybe half an inch tall.
Okay.
And I've used them for making tarts.
Huh. Yeah, like, that makes sense.
There's this great book by Maury Rubin, The Book of Tarts, where all of the tarts are made in these 4-inch flan rings.
Oh, God. I was super into that kind of thing in like 2002.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Good times.
I wish that somebody else
You mean before we had kids?
Yeah. I wish somebody else were still into that so they could make them for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you go to...
I used to just make a lot more tarts in general and like quiches and like... I used to make tart dough more often.
I did too.
Yeah, I used to use that shit for everything.
Everything, yeah. I would, you know, just wrap my kids' lunch up in tart dough.
Those were the days.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so
You can use it as a poultice.
I have made crumpets, and I made them using some recipe that I think I found on eGullet. Again, we're talking we're probably talking like 2002, 2003. Mm-hmm.
That sounds right.
I had a sourdough starter that my friend Margot had given me, and I was a total failure at baking sourdough breads. My breads were terrible.
Do you still have the starter?
No, I don't.
You murderer.
Although it was like indestructible. I mean, I finally, like, I would go like a year without feeding it, and then feed it, and it would be fine.
That's kind of scary.
It is kind of scary. But anyway, I once made a really simple recipe for crumpets that started with sourdough starter.
Wow, that sounds good.
And I had the little rings for it. Again, these were like metal rings. Mine were nonstick, and they were about an inch tall. And you would put them in a skillet and pour the batter into it. And it's the same kind of ring you use for making English muffins.
Yeah. I think when I made English muffins, I made English muffins for the English muffin episode, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't use rings. They were just like free form.
They were so good.
I should do that again, except it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, make bagels instead. Because remember, those weren't a lot of work.
Right.
Right?
I completely forgot about that. We made the Bravetart bagels, and they were so good, and I haven't made them since, even though they're pretty
easy. Even though you told me about how easy they were.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay.
I say a lot of things.
So, like, how do you think about crumpets compared to English muffins? Like, how are they different? I mean, because I think a lot of people...
They're pretty different.
They're quite different. I mean, for something that has very similar ingredients and is cooked in a very similar way, so different.
To be fair, like, literally thousands of things have those ingredients.
That's true. Pretty much every bread.
Yeah, but it's that weird, like, bubbly top that is the key feature of a crumpet.
Well,
that's a defining feature.
Well, I read somewhere that, well, so I think of crumpets in terms of texture. I think of them being between an English muffin and a pancake. Sort of. I mean, they're denser than either thing.
Yeah, they're like a thick pancake that's been sort of frozen in time.
Say more about that.
Well, because they've got sort of the structure, like the bubbly.
Did Brendan Fraser come out of them after they defrosted? Wait, am I thinking of the right movie?
Yeah, exactly. And okay. And Crumpet Man.
Go on.
Yes. Yeah, so the crumpets, they've got like the bubbly structure of a thick pancake, but because you don't the bubbly top, but before you flip the pancake.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So I saw in multiple places that you don't flip a crumpet. How are crumpets getting the slightly browned top? I've never seen.
I think you got to flip a crumpet.
I think you've got to flip a crumpet.
Do you want to flip a crumpet?
Come on, let's go and flip it. I never eat crumpets anymore.
I started talking to the crumpets on the wall.
Hang in there, butter. No, I don't know.
I haven't seen this movie in a long time.
Okay. Yeah, you left out a line.
I did. Thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically, they're about the same dimensions as an English muffin, but you don't have...
Crumpets an open door!
But you don't have to split them, because they have these, like, pores in the top.
We finish each other's crumpets!
Anyway, you...
Don't worry, I probably only remember, like, three more lines from that movie, total.
Okay. You don't have to split them to butter them. You are meant to butter the top, the part with all these holes. And these holes are like craters that are just waiting to receive this butter and like carry the butter down into the crumpet. It's kind of perfect. So what I'm finding is that usually they have milk in the batter. The batter is a lot like a pancake batter, but generally it has both yeast and baking soda.
Oh, interesting. Is it thicker than a pancake batter or is it?
I think it was thicker, as I recall.
But I guess also like you're like trapping it in this ring.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, it's hard to say because I think pancake batters vary a lot in their thickness.
That's true.
But I do think it's thicker than pancake batter in general. Pancakes, right, don't usually have yeast.
No, although I've made yeasted pancakes that were quite tasty.
Okay, so usually pancakes have baking soda and baking powder. Mm-hmm. Crumpets have yeast and baking soda. English muffins usually only have yeast.
And you think that's the difference between the pancake, the crumpet, and the English muffin?
No. I think there are a lot of differences. But I wonder if somehow the presence of the yeast and the baking powder and the fact that you're letting it cook longer on one side before you do or don't flip it allows it to form these craters that never get
squished. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds you of, the fact that it's cooked more on one side? You know how like sometimes when you cook a fish fillet and you cook it more on the skin side than on the flesh side, so the skin gets crispy and it doesn't get overcooked?
Yeah.
I think probably these crumpets are made the same way. That
I
they're
think
cooked
so too.
Although much I think, longer on the bottom than on the top.
And I venture to guess they're cooked at a pretty low heat, right?
I think so.
Because the bottom is just sort of pale golden and you're expected to toast them before you eat them.
Yeah, I remember this being the case. For when I made English muffins also, that they take a long time over a relatively low heat.
So Matthew, you went
yes.
to the crumpet shop here
yes.
in Seattle and you bought some crumpets for us. These are definitely flipped.
Yeah, because they're a little browned on top.
But it seems like they must be flipped really at the very end.
I think so. I should have like pressed my little face and hands up against the glass and watched how they were crumpeting in the kitchen. Although I think probably by the time I got there, they were done baking for the day.
These are so dense and they have like a certain elasticity to them.
They're fun to squeeze.
They have like a bounce to them that I expect from like a firm pillow.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love a firm pillow. How do you feel? What's your pillow philosophy?
Okay, so I've been struggling with this. Is this really a can of worms you wanted to get into?
Yes.
So I have, in the past couple of years, come around to having quite a firm pillow. Mm-hmm. I've got a pillow that's almost kind of memory foam-ish. I think it's a mixture of like memory foam and some other weird shit. I can't remember.
Maybe crumpet dough.
But I really like that it's firm so that when I sleep on my side, it really fills the space between my head and my shoulder.
I could not agree with this more.
However, oh my God, on the rare occasions that I wake up and I'm sleeping on my back, I have to really shimmy myself up so that my shoulders are also on the pillow or the pillow's very uncomfortable.
Why don't you just roll onto your side?
Well, because sometimes I want to sleep on my back.
Okay, so for me, like, yeah, I also like have some pillow issues. I do not like to sleep on my back because I always have nightmares when I end up sleeping
really?
On my back. Yes.
Oh, wow.
I think maybe like because I sleep lighter and so I remember the nightmares, which now I just realize means maybe I'm having nightmares every night and I just don't remember them, but they're probably scarring my psyche.
Most of us are.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's our uplifting message for
you
this week.
You are not alone. I am here with you, though we're far apart. You're all.
This is a song that you've sung on the show before, and I asked you what it was, and then I forgot, and I still don't know what it is.
I don't remember it either.
Okay, great. Is it from Love, Delayed Love? What was the Placido Domingo, John Denver album?
Delayed Love.
Endless Love.
Perhaps.
Perhaps Love. That's similar to Delayed Love, I think.
Perhaps Love.
I mean, it's
Endless Love, Diana Ross song.
What were we talking? Pillows. So I am a side sleeper, dyed in the wool. And so I like to have two thin pillows that have to come up to a like very specific height to make my head feel like it's not like drooping down too far or pushed
and
up too far.
You don't usually travel with a pillow, do you?
I don't.
Or have you traveled with a pillow?
I have, but like usually like I'm also like the kind of person who like prides myself on traveling light, so I'll like not travel with a pillow and then complain about the pillow situation when I get to my destination.
Well, so I require two pillows as well, but in my case, I put the firm one under my head and sleep on my side. And then I put a slightly softer but still quite lofty pillow between my knees.
Nice.
Yes, to keep my...
your knees from knocking together in the night.
Yeah, when I have my nightmares. No, to keep my femurs coming straight out of my hip sockets.
To keep your femurs from coming out of your hip sockets?
No, but just I'm prone to...
If you need a pillow to keep your femurs from popping out of your hip sockets, there's a much like higher level of pillow problems than I'm talking about.
No, when you're sleeping on your side, the leg that's on top is kind of like... flopped toward the other one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, so it causes me like glute tightness. That's
okay.
Not
I see
fun.
What you mean.
And so instead, I put a pillow between my knees.
Okay.
And then I always look like I'm just getting it on
with a pillow
all night. But I'm not. I'm just sleeping. I'm really just sleeping.
No, the thrashing around is just from the nightmares. The other thing I do is, so I have like my current situation is I have like a memory foam pillow, a thin memory foam pillow on the bottom, and then a thin like, you know, synthetic foam.
Yeah.
Like cheapo pillow on the top that's been compressed to the proper thickness.
This is perfect.
And then I like slide one hand between the pillows when I sleep.
Oh, it's so cute. Oh, the pillows are like holding your hand while you have your nightmare because you are not alone.
No, I am.
The pillows are there with you.
Okay.
Oh, God. So where do you buy these things?
So obviously the crumpet shop at Pike Place Market is where most people in the world get their crumpets.
Yep.
I have off and on seen crumpets, like one brand of packaged crumpets available at, like in the English muffin section at the supermarket.
Really?
Yeah, just wow. Sometimes.
I feel like if I've ever seen them in the supermarket, they were like frozen.
Okay, yeah, no, I've seen
like
that
over
also,
by the Eggos.
But yeah, but I've seen them in like you would see like a English muffin, like paper tray package. Only with crumpets in it.
Wow, I'll have to look harder.
I have not looked for them recently, so I don't know if this is the current situation. Listeners, readers, where do you find crumpets?
Yeah, where do you guys get crumpets?
Mm-hmm. And also, let us know about your pillow situation.
Yeah, and are you alone?
A lot of responses. No, none of our listeners are alone because they have us.
Oh, that's true. Oh, man.
Didn't you listen to your own song?
Yes. Sorry.
Maybe you wrote that song and you just don't realize it.
Okay. Listeners, could you please tell us who wrote that song?
Is this another thing where
Please say me.
Where we want people to weigh in on their impression of a factual matter?
Yeah. Wait. Okay. Quick, Matthew. Quick. Have you learned from past episodes of Spilled
Nothing,
Milk?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Who are the four members, the four people in the Facts of Life?
Oh, my God. Blair. Joe, Tootie, and the other one, Natalie.
Yeah!
Yes!
Yeah!
I took the good. I took the bad. They're all good.
And then you add the facts of life.
Oh, my God.
Anyway,
this is the greatest achievement of my entire life.
Longtime listeners will remember that we could not remember Natalie's name.
So that represents the last episode of Spilled Milk. It was all leading up to this. This episode was brought to you by Mr. Clean Magic Erasers.
Spring is here, and spring cleaning is too, and this year I'm using Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
Oh, so am I. It takes off any stain in my bathroom, any stain in my kitchen, any stain in the world.
Yeah, if you want to see what cleaning wonders it can do for you, go to MrClean.com/spilledmilk.
You can find us on you can find our archive of shows never to be updated again. SpilledMilkPodcast.com.
We're joking, by the way.
The
show is not over.
Please tune in next time.
Matthew is feverishly backpedaling. Okay. You can also find us on Facebook.com/SpilledMilkPodcast, where you can tell us where you buy crumpets.
Yeah, no, we know that everybody is going to tell us about their pillow situation. It's going to be the longest thread we've ever had.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you tried one of those buckwheat pillows?
Have you tried a body pillow? Shout out to my comrades in pregnancy.
The body pillow looks so appealing to me, but I don't know. Have I actually tried it? Sleeping with a
body
pillow? No.
When I was pregnant, and it was pretty great.
I mean, it sounds great.
Tell us.
Do you have that body pillow
that's like C-shaped?
Oh.
Yeah, so it like curves over your head and also like between your knees.
Over your head?
Well, you know, you put your head on it.
Okay. Yeah. That's called a C-section, right?
Yeah. Well, hey, would you also like to draw us a picture of yourself?
Oh, boy.
Sleeping the way that you sleep.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I think the answer to that for most people, no, they would not like to do that.
I just want to see a drawing of you with your sweet little hand tucked between your
pillows.
Oh,
this was directed specifically to me. I thought you were talking to the listeners and
our
readers.
I was.
Oh, okay. Why don't you draw what you think it looks like when I have my hand between the pillows?
Okay. All right.
So what else? Instagram @SpilledMilkPodcast. Please leave us a review on your podcasting platform of choice. Our producer, who we often remember to thank, is Abby Circatella.
Thank you, Abby.
Boy, we're making her work for it this week.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
Well, I mean, it's got to be some song involving a crumpet.
What was it that we said in which you turned it into crump?
Oh, right. The
crumping.
You do the crumpty crump.
You do the crump.
You do the crumpty crump. Come on, you do the crumpty crump.
I do the crumpity crump. I do the crumpity crump.
I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
I better run away.
I do
run, run, run,
run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run, run
Okay.
What did they say exactly?
I think it's da-do-ron-ron.
Da-do-ron-ron. So exactly what it says.
It's exact, yeah.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.